Hello, it's Tuesday, the 5th of March, the year of our Lord, 2024. We've got one of our interview shows today. It's myself and the gorgeous Catherine Watkins. Hello.
Good afternoon. How are you?
We're doing good. I'm just going to warn everybody, I've got a few issues here at home. I'm having power cuts and broadbands aren't connecting. So I'm doing it off my phone. And if I do cut off, Catherine's going to continue. She'll take the helm. So, Catherine, today's guest, we've got Nikki from Northern Ireland, and you were the person who messaged me, said we've got to have her on.
Yeah, I met Nikki. I met Nikki in Northern Ireland last year, and she's an absolute warrior out there. You know that she's got so much information on what's going on with the children, and some really, you know, she sent me some really scary stuff. So I just want to welcome Nikki from Northern Ireland to the show. Good afternoon, Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
Hello, everyone.
Thank you.
Good to hear yous or see yous or whatever. Yeah, it's a bit crazy over here, like it is in the rest of the UK. So, like, where do we start?
Well, let's start with how's the country and how's you feeling before we tell the story of what you've been investigating and seeing and what you and Kat been talking about. Let's talk a bit about you. What woke you up and what's going on with parents and RSE? And then we can kind of move on to what you're finding if everyone's happy with that. Absolutely.
Well, people have said to me before, you know, how long have you been awake for in respect of everything that's happening across the globe? And I'm like, well, I think I really woke up a very, very, very long time ago, but was kind of harboring it for years, you know, didn't want to come across as the crazy conspiracy theorist. Where I'm talking like way back to like when Princess Diana died, I think that was the like the triggering moment in my life where I went, there's something not right here. You know, there's definitely some sort of global establishment thing going on that, you know, that Diana had obviously was possibly going to expose, maybe, I don't know. That we all know that it wasn't an accident. Something happened there, you know. I can't say for definite. It's a bit like 9/11 again, another triggering moment. There's been so many moments in my lifetime that I've thought, people, seriously, if they can't see what's going on, there's something not right. So when 2020 came, I had it was like I just remember watching the TV, you know, in 2019, seeing all the images coming from China, and everybody thought, my goodness, is this going to be like a proper, you know, virus that's really going to wipe people out? Like, you know, everybody was thinking it was going to be like Ebola. And 2020 came, and I just remember seeing things and me thinking, there's something going on here. There's something coming, as in, like, I knew they were going to lock down. I just knew they were going to do it after what we're seeing in China. And then when they did it, I wasn't surprised in the slightest. And then for the first couple of months, you know, walking around, waiting to see if anybody's going to drop dead in front of me, nothing happening, not even a sniffle for a lot of people. You know, okay, yes, most people were in their houses, but I didn't follow the rules. I don't think anybody really did. And it wasn't until the summertime that people actually started to speak, especially in this country. I think there were people speaking out before that, like there was people trying to meet up in parks and stuff, but it was, there were very sort of few and far between, and people didn't really know about them. But then we have some like Facebook media pages, like Belfast Live, that would be a kind of a controversial type page. I mean, and I don't mean controversial as in like, you know, truth. I mean just typical, almost tabloid-ish type Facebook page. And there was a lot of comments on it. And there was one girl in particular I noticed, and I'm not going to give her full name, but her name's Lorna, and she was a nurse, and she was coming off with stuff. And I was going, hold on, she knows something, and she's a nurse. So it's actually, I would say, her that really helped sort of me to like meet other people, as in like start to make contact and everybody find each other. That's what it was like. It was every, we were all trying to find each other in 2020, until finally I actually did meet up with a group. in Armagh. I had to drive nearly, was it would be about an hour and a half from my house to go to a meeting that wasn't even supposed to be happening because we're in lockdown. But we didn't care. We were that desperate to meet up and, you know, people talk and find out what's really going on. And I was in like heavy depression by the end of 2020, almost suicidal is what I'll say. It was quite scary for me because I was on the edge. Like I really thought, I think it was the fact that nobody else was waking it up. That's what I felt at that time. There were so few of us. And then I started to find more and more people and I thought, hold on, okay, so I'm not on my own here. And I never realized I wasn't on my own. That was when I started to really, really do my research massively, like trawling stuff for days, hours. And then I ended up eventually in 2023 going into the whole looking at the relationship, sexuality, education. Never thought I'd be looking at that before. I'm not a teacher. I've never really been that overly interested in education apart from my son's education. And then I looked at this and was absolutely appalled. And then again, started digging deeper. And then I looked into our own laws in Northern Ireland and really put together everything that could relate to people in this country so they can understand what's happening and what's coming. Because if you don't talk about it from a Northern Irish, because we have a different set of laws to the rest of the UK, then as a bit like, I suppose, Wales have a different set, Scotland, you know, so you have to talk about it from that angle. Otherwise, people just totally dismiss you. And there are stories coming out of schools in Northern Ireland, just like the rest of the UK, you know, so this is where we're at now.
Yeah. What was it then? So you're looking into the RSC and what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, this is, to me, this is the only issue going on at the moment is what everyone has to be focused is on our children, because we've got to be their voice. We've got to protect them because these predators are after our kids.
Yeah.
So you've looked into the RSC. Now, Kat mentioned, did you mention something about pleasure boys, Catherine?
Yeah, so obviously in context of the, you know, the whole agenda then, the sexualization of people as well as children, mm-hmm. Nikki, something had gone on in Belfast, I don't know, maybe about 3 weeks ago, I think it was, 2 weeks ago probably, and Nikki sent me some, they were just, honestly, I was disgusted. They were the most shocking videos of inside a, is it a nightclub, Nikki?
No, it's a bar. It's a bar in, well, people debate whether it's in West or South Belfast. It's actually closer to West Belfast than it is to South. People in South Belfast would be horrified. Let's just say, because that's where the sort of more affluent type people would live. But yes, it was like, I think it happened in the afternoon. I think it was like some sort of lunch event type thing. And it was organized that, I don't know, the Pleasure Boys were going to be in this particular venue. I think it was, I don't know, maybe I picked that up wrong. Maybe it was nighttime, but no matter when it was pretty gruesome. Let's just say, right, you know, I have been to see, I wouldn't say strippers. I mean, okay, I haven't went purposely to see strippers, right? But, you know, everyone has been in like a party, like a hen do or birthday party, and a stripper turns up and you're just sitting there going, oh, here we go, right? So, you know, you just laugh at them, right? And 9 times out of 10, they're usually pretty ugly for a start. Usually have an ugly face and... It's just like, yeah, okay, whatever. Where did this group this one up from? But you usually just laugh at them, and they don't like go fully naked, mostly, from what I've seen in the past. Or if they do, they kind of like cover themselves up just a little bit. But this was quite graphic. So I was thinking to myself, if I was someone who, say, have been invited to this event, like, say, I'm 47, so for me, I personally wouldn't go. But say you were someone like who was a wee bit older, who it was sold to you that it's just a bit of a laugh. I don't know whether they were raising money for charity or something. I don't know. But you went just for a laugh, right? And you weren't really told like that they were going to go for full frontal nude. You might be a little bit gobsmacked sitting there, especially whenever these guys went fully nude and then started dancing around the room. And they were doing very sexual things with their bodies, you know, like pouring baby lotion all over them, rubbing themselves, rubbing all over their manhood, getting the Union Jack and wiping themselves with the Union Jack, and letting the Union Jack hang on it, type of thing, which for some people, I don't really care that much about the Union Jack, but for some people that could be an issue, especially in Northern Ireland, and yeah, especially where the bar was located, which is in West Belfast, and that would be a predominantly sort of Republican nationalist area. So to me, that was really bad taste. They should have really thought about that before they did it. I couldn't really care less, but I'm just thinking of other people. And then the guys, you know, were bouncing off the stage into the audience, and they were literally like waving their penises like up and down in front of people's faces, like really close, like...
They were slapping it on someone's face as well.
That's right. They did. Somebody got slapped around the head with it a few times. Sorry, it is kind of funny. I mean, people did laugh. It is funny, right? It is. However, there's a more, I think, sinister side to this, as the people haven't really caught on to.
Well, it's basically pornography, and pornography is demonic, and they're just normalizing it in bars and clubs. They were performing fellatio on each other, men performing fellatio. It just, one of them ejaculated in a woman's hair. This is disgusting. Like,
well,
absolutely disgusting.
Well, this is the thing, right? So we don't know for sure whether any of it's true. We have been told it's like the rumor mill has been going, and nobody really knows for sure. So there was a girl that had stuff in her hair. People automatically thought it was that. Then they were claiming it wasn't that. It was the body lotion had got off this guy's body when he was like shaking himself about in the audience. There was a rumor going around that there was oral sex being performed. There's no actual evidence of that. I haven't seen any footage. I've been trying to get something of somebody. I actually know a guy who worked in the bar right up until like a few weeks ago. So I spoke to him directly. I thought, if all people who's going to know, it would be him. He didn't have any footage of that, but he did send me a screenshot that people were talking. So that's very problematic, you know, because you're going to create rumors that are untrue, and then people are implicated even just by being there. Okay, even if you were just sitting there minding your own business and you're kind of going, I don't really want to get too close or too involved, you're still implicated by being there. And then we have, so they got up onto the stage at the end, and now they try to say that women stormed the stage. That is a complete lie. Okay. People are saying to the contrary, and I believe those people. They're saying, no, they were invited up onto the stage because, you know, there was a convenient song played at that time, you know, that seemed to, that these guys had, you know, rehearsed to. So it wasn't just off the cuff. This is something like a little trick, like a little party act that they do. So they invited these ladies up. And of course, then there was lots of simulated sex acts, like you can imagine. I'm not going into the details, but lots of it was very like if there was a child watching that, they'd be thinking, "Oh my goodness, like what are they doing?" Like, you know, they'd probably find it hard to understand. But if they were maybe a teenager, they'd be thinking,
learning how to be just.
Is that why we have to be
trained?
Kat, yeah. When you sent it to me, it came from somebody who worked at Surestart.
No, well, yes, possibly. I don't know. I'm not really sure. The bottom line is, for me, it's irrelevant where people work. Okay. Yes, I can see where you're coming from in that respect. But there would have been all sorts of people at that day. But yes, I mean, if you're working with children, it's not really a good example to be set.
It's not a good example at all, and they shouldn't be working, but you shouldn't do it. It's just like having a drag queen work with children. That's an adult entertainer.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You shouldn't cross the two, because this is where the line is being removed. Do you know what I mean? And then I wouldn't want people working with my kids who are in
If they... I wouldn't want it. And it's, you know, everyone's entitled to their nights out, et cetera.
Of course.
But the fact of the matter, it makes me personally one judge. I wouldn't want my child, I hand my child over to somebody who enjoys that kind of entertainment. Just call me an old fart or whatever. Mm. But it doesn't look good. You're handing it one over and then they're out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't it just go to show how normalised this become? Because people are
Exactly. That's the problem. That is the problem.
They don't see an issue with it because they're adults. Yeah. So they're not thinking about, you know, how depraved it actually is. Do you know what I mean? And that's the danger we're actually in at the moment. That is a real danger, because not only have we got to rescue these kids, we've got to try and change the minds of the adults. And that is harder, you know?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's where the real problem lies. It's actually the adults. And from what I can see, people have been groomed. Adults. I tried to explain this on my own Facebook page. I run a Facebook page called Families Concerned About RSE, and I put up a post basically connecting the two. But of course, there were people who disagreed. But they don't understand that they themselves have been groomed from a young age in everything, our movies, our TV, music, everything has, you know, brought us to this point where we think this is socially acceptable to behave that way. And there's no decency or decorum in it at all. It's decency. Decency has gone out the window. Women are becoming shameless. They have no shame whatsoever. Everything's on show. You have more women now turning to OnlyFans thinking that's a way of life or work. That is not a job. That is prostituting yourself. That's the easy way out. Yeah. Any woman could do that.
As well go on Pornhub as well, because absolutely does hold child sexual abuse imagery as well. Mm-hmm. And there's no safeguard. You can go on there and pretend to be 18 and get on there.
That's it. You don't know what age those girls are. Really have no clue. I saw something the other day on Facebook, where it was in a reel, and we get these stupid reels now on our, like, I would love to block them, because they're just time wasting. It's like they've almost like merged TikTok with Facebook when they put these reels up, where they come from either TikTok, Instagram, whatever. And anyway, there was a girl on it, and she looked extremely young. Like, I would have thought she was wearing braces, so I would have thought she was of like maybe 13-14. She looked extremely young, and she was doing very sexualized poses, you know, low cut tops, all sorts of things. And I just thought, this is bad. There's men going to be watching this, like fantasizing over her and all sorts. And because of the fact she is young, like very young. So I put a comment on, as usual, just saying, are you trying to normalize paedophilia? Of course, I didn't get any response, wasn't expecting any, but that's what it felt like. And I watched a video the other day of a paedophile sting that happened in Dunmurry, in just outside Belfast here. I think it happened on Sunday morning. of a guy trying to meet up with a girl that he thought was like 13 or 14. And the guys that got him, I mean, the stuff they had on this guy was incredible. But there, so, you know, paedophilia is rife. It's rife in Northern Ireland. You know, a lot of people don't talk about it over here. I don't think too much. There's a lot of things are brushed under the carpet. A hell of a lot of things.
They don't talk about it anywhere, Nikki. I've been doing 14 years now.
Yeah.
And one thing people will not talk about is the children. It makes people uncomfortable. It'll ruin their day.
Yeah. And yeah. That's it.
It's stigmatized. It's everywhere. We saw a sting last week in Blackpool, who was an agent of Prince Charles.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Yeah.
Heard about this. Yeah.
What was his name? Was it Andrew Kellen or something? No.
Andrew Merrin. Follow up where the neighbours who'd known him for years went round and he was in denial. Oh, he came round to look at my paintings. No, Alan, the whole community thing. But why isn't that on the front page of the press? Why is he still being put out into the community when he's clearly, they've got him getting his cock out, doing dancing to what he believes is a 13-year-old boy and boasting how he's got all these different other young underage lovers. And then he goes in, he gets questioned, and then he just goes back home and sent back home again and wait and try. But where's the mainstream media press?
Exactly.
No, they don't care. It's, you know, it's not in their agenda. It's not part of the narrative.
But no, the other narrative is to push it, isn't it? So they definitely,
Our job now is just to keep highlighting and what these paedophile hunters are doing. I mean, if every town had one, if every
exactly,
they've got to know the law. They can't be going in there beating them up and everything. They've got to, you know, I couldn't do it.
Because I
was gunning for blood. But these guys, they've had the training. They know what to say. They can keep calm. They get the evidence on camera of them admitting it face to face, and then the police are called, and the police have got no choice but to take them away. But this is a proof of the pudding. This is, and see, let's go and see if these, any of these people, the paedophile hunters are tracking down, get time. Because personally, and I know Kat feels the same, I'd bring the death penalty back for any person who touched a child.
Have a
year or so. So,
And this is the thing, you know, it's going on, it's all going on massively. And at the same time, what are they doing to the kids in school? They're exposing them to this stuff.
They're grooming them.
More and more sexual offending. Yeah. It's really dangerous, dangerous times. Like, and people really do. Parents need to be on their feet. They need to be on their feet, all of them. You know? Because otherwise, but this is not going to change. This is really not going to change. You know, while time is going on and we're desperately trying to expose this stuff, these children are being effective in a massive, significant proportion. Do you know what I mean? The amount, I dread to think what is going to, well, I know what's happening. That's the problem. I know what's happening because I see it every day. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It just becomes increasingly a dangerous world. And it's like, what do we do? You know, what do we do? You just have to just go in.
And in respect of back to the pleasure boys, they're apparently, now this is just apparently, this is a rumor. I'm not sure whether it's true. There was apparently a teacher at the Pleasure Boys that they were seen on camera doing whatever. So whether they were one of the ones up on the stage, I'm not quite sure. But the teacher lost their job. So this rumor came through my son, where he actually overheard his classroom assistant talking to another teacher there. About the situation, like, because I said to him, I says, where did you hear this? And that's what he told me. And I was like, okay, so there's definitely stuff going round. And then I noticed there is a comedian, she goes under the name of Mammy Banter over here. I can't remember her surname, her first name, Serena something or other. I'm actually going to see her in the SSE Arena in June because she is actually very, very funny. But she had done a little sketch that was kind of trying to make it out that like a teacher had been at the Pleasure Boys. You know, she's making a real joke out of this, you know, about
the sketch involves her own mum being there, and her mother was the one that got beat around the face with someone's penis. Yeah. You know, her face, the mum's face is all bruised, and then she goes in to the school, and then the teacher's sitting there with a black eye as well. And, you know, they're trying to make a joke out of it. So I think, yeah, the rumour has definitely been travelling around, and Northern Ireland is a small country. You know, it's like you always bump into somebody you know somewhere in nearly every town. So I definitely think there's something in that. But then, you know, that's what you've got. That's your caliber of teachers, you know, people who find that enjoyable. And then they go into school the next day and talk to their kids. And then they
think it's normal. They think it's normal. They're the ideal people that the agenda want to teach this to kids.
Exactly.
It's ideal for them.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they want. They want people with, I would say, a lower moral standard to teach this sort of stuff. They don't want the Christian teachers. They don't want people with any sort of ethics.
And guess what? Actually, that's just on that note as well, Nikki, sorry to interrupt. That's directly from Alfred Kinsey as well, because everyone that he worked with had to be a certain way. They had to be promiscuous. Mm. They had to... Do you know, either or he wouldn't work with them. Do you know what I mean? So this is right from the likes of him.
Yeah, it's like the next generation, they've all been so groomed. That's how they're all going to, everyone's going to be that way. So it's going, I mean, we're looking at Sodom and Gomorrah. We are looking.
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally. That's it. That is it in a nutshell. We are living in those times where nothing is, you know, off limits. We're seeing it now in mainstream media even more and more, where just disgusting things are being normalized. It's horrific.
What we were saying about the horrific things last night when we did a nightly news show, we were on with Christine. And Christine had told us, remember, Lou, about the they were doing They were doing a fundraiser in a high school in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they had children, volunteer children from grade 9, so it would be about 13 upwards, all laying down on their stomachs, right, laying flat on their stomachs with adults' feet in their mouth while they were licking their toes.
What?
Honestly, they've got to come out and apologise, and they did. I was like, what?
I put the link, I'm just, the show's going up today from last night, so I was just too tired to get it up. And all the links are in there. So I'll send you the show because it's truly
unbelievable.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is. This is
that's disgusting.
That's going on in schools.
Yeah, that's just like, why? You know, how can they rationalize all of this?
I know. And they can move around it by saying, you know, don't forget they're teaching kids how to consent, considering these children, I say in air quotes, volunteered. Then there's no act. Do you see what I mean? This is how dangerous it is. This is how dangerous, because that is really, that's like a sexual fetish for a start, right? So you're doing that with, just can't, honestly, it makes me sick. It really, I would be, if my child was in that school, there'd be people without teeth. I'm telling you now.
Yeah. And I was also thinking about the fact that, those girls were on the stage acting it out with those strippers. So that there's a lot of pressure then, you know, girls are thinking, is this how I have to behave in a sexual relationship?
Exactly.
You know, and then also for boys, you know, you brought it to my attention, Kat, because I have a son, that the boys too, there's a lot of pressure there. Like, these guys were very, very well endowed. Like, we're talking massive, like, abnormally massive. And then you're going to have boys, like, feeling extremely inadequate in themselves. And then you have this, you know, the whole pornography industry that is making sex out to be something completely wrong. Like, it's seedy.
Only that, 90% of pornography is violent. So
yeah, there's,
you
know, yeah, there's
when
that
we live
too,
in a rape
culture
and we're wondering, where has this come from?
Yeah. Yeah. And it seems to just be like everything is now just grooming our children from birth, yeah. Whether it be media, it's now in the schools. Like once it had sort of crept into the schools, that's whenever I just went, right, it's like seriously, parents have been brushing stuff under the carpet for years. They've been very negligent of their own children. They put everything else above their own kids. It's almost like I feel like a lot of people pop out kids like their trophies, like their awards, like it's something to hang on your arm. Here's my bunch of kids. Look at me. Aren't I so brilliant? But in reality, are they actually really looking after their kids properly, like educating them properly?
BBC Bite Size are bringing them up, and their tablets are bringing them up.
Yeah,
BBC that's Bite Size. Yeah,
that's it. That I know a girl who literally let her child get on like a little mini trampoline and bounce on the mini trampoline in front of a TV all day long as a toddler.
Yeah, they brought it by the TV. Look, and they know it. The people know it. That's why the TV was invented.
Yeah,
that's
it's
why
like
it was invented.
Yeah, it's not raising your kids. I suppose we're all guilty of it. Like I've been guilty of it. My son it loves Xbox and he's a gamer and I feel so guilty. However, thankfully, he actually prefers to do things outdoors. I'm not going to say what he's involved in because it's kind of touchy subject over here. But anyway, he's involved in lots of things where he does things outdoors and there's team spirit and he's learned how to do things in the wild and go on tours, you know, hiking and stuff. So thankfully he has embraced that side of life more than the antisocial.
Don't get me wrong, if it's control, do you know what I mean? Like if you're like an outdoor too, do you know what
that's
I mean? That's the thing. It can be beneficial, obviously.
Yeah.
It's when it's taken over completely and raising the children.
Exactly.
Problem.
Exactly.
Because look what they're exposed to. We got they, them, Z, them.
A lot of people don't even know what they're exposed to. They just literally put the child in front of the TV and expect it to be okay, not realizing. Like, my parents had taken my niece and nephew to movies in the cinema in the last year, and there was so many that they literally were ready to get up and walk out of. Like these were little kids' movies, but because they were so woke and there was agendas being pushed, they were just like going, "This is ridiculous." You know, it's almost like you have to vet everything now before you watch it. And I know you should do that anyway, but you would think with something that's a U or a PG that
you're right, love. Yeah, and this is how they catch us. You know, this is how they catch us on cards. You know,
I just think of Tracy Beaker. The number one children's TV show that the children, it glorifies life in the children's home. It demonizes parents.
Yeah.
I work very close with some former ex-police officer in regards to the Jimmy Savile case, where they collect the children and where the children were taken was a gay brothel with a saunas inside, and it was called Elm House.
Oh, yes, Tracy I've heard Beaker. I know all about it. Yeah.
Elm Guest House,
Tracy
Beaker, what's the name of the children's home?
Oh, Elm House. Goodness, seriously.
It's in your face. You know, the BBC, people, I can't believe that people would even put their children in front of a television after the evidence of Jimmy Savile, Philip Schofield, what's his name? Hugh Edwards.
Rolf Harris.
Oh, yeah.
The list goes on. It's Childline was set up by Esther Ranson to find where the victims and survivors were and also what the best area is to target to get pimps going and get the kids.
Awful. Absolutely awful. I've actually met Esther Ranson.
Have you?
Before. Yeah.
Oh,
I'll not explain how I've met her. It was many years ago when I was about 17. And whenever I saw how she was behaving, especially around the vaccinations, and then I heard, you know, started to, you know, look into Childline, the penny dropped and I was just horrified. I was just like thinking, seriously, this is bad. Like, you know, a lot of people really looked up to Esther Ranson and the Lats Life team, and now you just look back at your childhood and thinking, we were all lied to. for years. We've been lied to, you know, I am a child of the late 70s, early 80s, and we were lied to massively. So it's quite horrific when you think about it. So yeah, I would say I was groomed as a kid in various ways by different things. So that whenever I became a teenager, I really struggled with knowing what's acceptable and what's not. Like my first boyfriend, I wouldn't say he tried to rape me, but he was, you know, trying, he was pushing. And, you know, obviously I said no, and that was it. And then he just dumped me because that was all he wanted. So that was my first experience. And I thought to myself,
generation, it isn't it? Poor generation, that's it.
Yeah. So I thought to myself, this is crazy. This is what, you know, kids have been brought up to think, that this is normal. Not like good old fashioned just getting to know someone and hanging out and being friends. Now, I have to say, I do think the younger ones have got it sussed out now, that they don't rush into sexual relationships, but you still have ones that are. But I think it's more of a case probably because they're fearful, because they're looking at the likes of porn and they're going, if this is what's expected of me, I don't think I can deliver. So maybe that's one of the reasons why many of them aren't actually pursuing sexual relationships, because they're a little bit scared and they feel inadequate.
And that's where the danger comes in, because they watch more and more porn then. And as the addiction gets stronger and stronger, these are when some people will go out and offend. And this is when you get, you know, every serial rapist, not everyone who watches porn is a serial rapist murderer, but every serial rapist murderer watches porn, every single one of them.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. So,
so like there's a connection.
Yeah, massive, like, you know, and it's so, this is why I haven't done it for a little while. I've been off it because I've been doing cases and stuff, but, you know, that's where my, and it's dark. And when I say dark, I mean really, really dark, because you know what it can lead to. And that is the massive worry in my mind. And, you know, sometimes I've even sat down and cried. Because I feel like my head's going to explode, because I just think, where do we start with it? Because it's very, very powerful. You know, when you look at a brain, right? If you look at a brain that's addicted to pornography, right? If you look at a brain in comparison to a heroin addict and a coke addict and a crack addict, the pornography addict's brain is more damaged. It causes more brain damage than those drugs. And people have no idea. The thing is, they don't see it happening. They don't see an escalating porn habit, how you would notice an escalating drug habit. Do you know what I mean? Because it's normalized, because it's everywhere, because it's free, because every child 5 and up has got a device in their hand now and they can click a button at any point and see it. And they are doing it. And then they're performing these on each other with absolute no capacity for what they're doing, because they're babies. You've got traumatized, it happens with siblings a lot of the time, right? Mm-hmm. Because, not because one of them, not because the 8-year-old is a sex child sex abuser, because he is a child himself, or she.
Yeah.
You know, it's really dangerous, and it's the thing in the middle that not many, you know, because everyone's talking about trafficking and everyone's talking about child sex abuse and everyone's talking about this, and it's that one little thing in the middle that people ignore. Pornography and the pornography industry answers to absolutely nobody, by the way. Nobody.
Yeah. And another thing I wanted to bring up was that I went to a gig recently to see a comedian. Is it okay for me to name him?
Yeah, of course it is.
It's just, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, if anybody else was at the gig, they would know exactly what I'm talking about. So I'm not telling any lies, just in case. So just for a disclaimer, this is definitely the truth. Daniel O'Reilly. Okay, so I went to see him. Now, this is not someone that I would necessarily have bought tickets to see myself. My husband arranged this because he finds him very funny. Now, he is awake. And I thought his gig would be more along those lines, But oh, how wrong was I? So I went and they had a warm-up guy, and his act opened really talking about sexual things, you know, in a joking manner. And yes, he was funny. So I just thought to myself, right, is this how it's going to be? What's Daniel O'Reilly's going to be like? So for a long time, he really pushed the whole sort of druggy narrative, because that he was massively into drugs for a long time. He has a little character. I've totally forgotten the character. It'll come to me later. Oh, Sesh Monster, is that it? I think so. He has a few different characters, but a lot of his comedy was based around his drug habit. And then he got clean, and he has been clean, I think he said, for about a year and a half, roughly. So he did a little bit of comedy about that. Then he did a little bit about paedophiles, which I thought, yeah, okay. Like, he talked about Prince Andrew, Jimmy Savile, you know. So, but then he talked a lot about his sexual relationship with his wife. And I was just like going,
I would have got up and walked out with that.
Does this girl, does his wife know? Does he like run these by her, these jokes, before he does his stand up? I'm not quite sure. Does she even get a choice in the matter? Is any of this stuff real that he's actually talking about, or is it all purely fabricated? Like, there was one story that he was talking about going into a sex shop with her because she wanted to buy a dildo, and he was taking the piss out of her because of her northern accent and how she was saying it. And, you know, and I'm going, did she really go into a sex shop looking for a dildo, or was this just purely made up? Other things about how, you know, he had drug problem, he couldn't get an erection. I was literally just going to myself, how much this show is going to be all about that? And what a complete contradiction to talk about nonsense and paedophiles in 1 minute in your show, and then the next you're talking a lot about sex.
Yeah, he doesn't realize, obviously, that's the thing, people don't realize and make that connection. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right in what you say. He doesn't know, because he would never have done that otherwise. He would never have done that. Yeah, there's many people who do it as well, you know, the same thing. Whether it's comedic or not, I got people on my Facebook who believe, you know, they're fighting for the kids and this, that, and the other, but they're highly, highly sexualized and very public with it too. And I'm like,
no, you can't
start it.
This is the line, isn't it? You know, but that's the problem. That's the problem. This is why it's so difficult for a lot of people to, you know, because they get offended and this, that, and the other. But it is what it is. Do you know what I mean? Sexual demons are by far the worst, and they're the most powerful. They got it. Do you know what I mean? And they, but people don't realize they've got them, is my point, I think I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You know? And so at the time, it seems like we're all a bunch of Mary Whitehouses.
We're not. And that's the thing. Not. And people have to realize that. And anybody who's listening to this show, we are not. We are not prudes. I am most certainly not a prude.
Oh, anyone who knows, you know, from my, I'm definitely not. They know I'm not.
Yeah,
you know,
even the stuff that, even some of the jokes and things that I share on Facebook, people know I'm not British. Like, I do find some things sexual to be quite funny. But the point is that it's like society is becoming completely consumed by it. And in all different levels. And you had said there, Kat, about, you know, you would have got up and walked out. Well, there actually was a girl that got up and walked out.
Did she? Yeah.
Because I sat about two rows behind her, and I saw her face was like thunder for the first half of the show. And she got up in the interval, and then they didn't return her or her partner. And I did say to my husband at the time, I said, that girl's not going to stay. I can guarantee it, she'll be gone. And right enough, she was. And it was kind of really weird atmosphere in the place. there was like a lot of people who, like, this is so ironic, like who were really drunk, like complete piss heads at the front, all like jeering and stuff, to the point where actually Daniel O'Reilly was getting a bit annoyed and he actually had to cut short the first part. I think he kind of did like a little bit of a storm off and, you know, had the interval be a bit longer. So then he came back and he apologized about, so it was a really weird show. But he was dealing with people who I just believe are a little bit ignorant, and they're just out for a laugh. They don't really care.
And that's the thing. If he's doing that content, that's the sort of people he's going to attract as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean?
The same sort of people. So
you know what makes me laugh, though? People will be out there doing that. They'll be out there laughing. They'll be going home watching the porn and everything else. Yeah. And they just haven't got a clue. They've probably got kids at home.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't think. They can't see it. They're so confused.
Once the penny drops with this, it drops big time. You know what I mean? So you're going to know if someone's aware of it or not purely by their actions, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And by how they speak, what they say.
Yeah. Do you know what was so funny though? Just the fact that some people were so like out of it. They were that drunk they couldn't even laugh. It was crazy. Like I saw a guy knocking I think he knocked about 6 or 7 pints into him in the space of an hour. And but then that is Northern Ireland. There's a massive drink culture, I suppose, like in the rest of the UK, but really over here, you know, the Irish are renowned for loving their alcohol, and which is just it. But whenever you're out in amongst that sort of company, you just realize, like, why are they all so desperate to get totally off their faces? What is it that's stopping them from living their life?
Yeah.
You know, like, sober, you know, why do they have to, like, they're doing this to block out things. It's very sad
because that's the culture of everywhere, isn't it? What I mean, as soon as you're older, even before, go and take as many drugs as you want, drink as much as you want, just go and party as much as you want. And I did it for a long time, mind you know, I didn't use.
I don't drink anymore
because I've got different priorities on my mind now, but you kind of get swept away with it, don't you? You think that's what life is about. You think working those 5 days are just for the weekend. So you can understand it maybe in the younger generation, but it's that, you know, as we get older, then we realise, and then when we wake up, I think that is a big, big, big one, isn't it? Because you just, you know, you're looking for the truth. And the truth is going to hit you straight in the face. You know, they wanted this lifestyle for people. They allow alcohol, but it kills.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how many tens of thousands of people a year. You know,
the brain cells. Yeah.
Exactly.
Look at what happened in lockdown. You know, there was no restrictions on alcohol or fast food or any of that.
That's a good point. Yeah, you couldn't get, couldn't buy nappies, but you could get a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah.
What?
Because they wanted people to drink themselves into oblivion. They wanted people to kill themselves. They wanted this, you know, depression, suicide. They wanted all of that because that was just going to add to the numbers that they could probably mark off as a COVID death, as we know. You know, so they wanted all of that, and they still do. And they've been pushing everything that's bad, you know, and pure evil for a very, very, very long time. So this is the culture that's being created. And the problem is, but the people aren't waking up to it. Like, again, you know, I'm no Mary Whitehouse, that's for sure. I've had my fair share of crazy times. I went out and got absolutely hammered for years. But I was doing it to block out things. I was doing it because it was like the fun thing to do, or to boost my confidence, you know, just be the crazy drunken one. And it's not attractive in the end, and people just think you're a little bit unhinged. Yeah. So I had a
similar story for me, really, Lev. It's a similar story for a lot of us, I think, you know?
Yeah. So, um, so Yeah, because so I don't want people to listen to what we say and think, oh, these are just girls who, you know, haven't lived. Excuse me, we have very much so. And we can see what's happening. And we're very worried for our kids and the way society has become, and that people need to start to realize what's important and to keep their kids away from all these evil forces, because that's what they are, literally just pure evil.
It is. You're absolutely right. It is. It's a really dangerous time right now. We've all got to step up as parents, and we've got to do the best that we possibly can to protect our kids. So just as we're coming up to the hour now, I think Lou's gone. I think she's cut off, Nikki, right? So just before we go, any last words to the people listening as regards to what we've spoken about, you know, the sexualization and, you know, for our children, what would you say, any last words there?
Basically, just to do everything to protect your kids, and do not rely on the education system. Do not rely on your government. Do not rely on people that you think are looking after you and your well-being, because they're probably not. You have to do your own research, your own homework, and you have to make a stand yourself. I tell people on my group that they need to make a stand, but I will be there to help them if they need anything, like if they need a letter written up for their school, or if they need to be able to quote stuff to people in evidence that these things are happening, that I will help. However, you need to make that individual stand yourself as a parent. You can't rely on anybody else to sort it out, because it'll be too late. Otherwise, you don't want to send your kids into school. They learn things that are pretty horrific. Then they come home, and then it's too late. Damage is already done. You were too late. You didn't get in there first. And you really do need to get in there first and make a stand. Tell your headmaster, headmistress, your feeling on all of this and how you will not tolerate it. And if if you're pushed into a situation where you have to maybe pull your kids out and do home education, then so be it. A lot of people are scared of that idea. A lot of people work and do think that people from a poorer background are going to struggle a bit because they really do need to work. Not everybody has the luxury of home education. And also there are Christian schools out there as well. There's ones popping up all over Northern Ireland. I think there's at least 9 of them. So that is something to consider. It is obviously a little bit more expensive, but you have to prioritise things in life. Do you want to spend money on your child going to a Christian school, or do you want to spend it on, I don't know, hot holidays or other things like that? You have to make decisions in life to decide what's more important. And in respect of what we were just talking about there with the pleasure boys and things like that, I would say to young girls out there that this is not normal behavior. This is not what we expect from you in society, that all of these things you have been groomed into thinking is acceptable or not, and that love is the most important thing in a relationship, commitment, loyalty, trust, all of those things. Sex is just a bonus, and, you know, whatever happens in your sexual relationship, do not be looking at pornography for good examples or role models, because you're not going to get it.
Absolutely. Amen. Where can people find you, Nick? You said you've got a page on Facebook. So if anyone wants to join and come and see what you've been posting, what's the page called?
Well, it's a group called Families Concerned About RSE. So at the minute, it's mostly people from Northern Ireland. So I want to just share articles that will relate to them. And we do have a few people from outside, as you know, who have come on to see what we're sharing. But yes, if you're in Northern Ireland and you are worried about your kids' education and what's happening and you want to be kept in the know, then please join our group. So.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you ever so much for coming on today, Nikki. It's been a really great, informative show. So we'll get it out as soon as you possibly can. Enjoy the rest of your day, Nikki. Thank you ever so much for coming on.
Thanks, Kat and Lou, even though she's not there. Thanks for having me.
No problem. I'm just going to close the show. Right, guys, that was an amazing show. We'll get it out as soon as possible. LibertyTactics.co.uk. You can find all my blogs and my videos, although I do apologise. I haven't done a great deal lately in the last couple of months because I've been flat out. But still, there's a lot of information on as regards to the sex education and other things, of course, exposing the lie.info. So we'll leave it there, guys. God bless. And we will see you all soon.
Okay, thanks. Bye.